The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from KHUH LP 104.9 FM Seattle, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Hello! Welcome to the Thunderbolt for November 2nd, 2018. Are you having a happy day today? Yes, fall is almost over. The leaves have changed and fallen, and the sound of children playing in schoolyards once again wafts across our neighborhoods. The holidays approach, and we are enjoying those last few sunny fall days as everyone prepares to snuggle in for the winter. We are so lucky. We have so much to be thankful for. Joy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, happy. But don't worry. You know that you can always count on the Thunderbolt to fart in your church and to throw a nasty turd into your punch bowl as we totally ruin your whole frigging day. And you can always ruin someone's day simply by mentioning politics. We have now reached the point wherein roughly half of the American public thinks that the Democratic Party totally sucks, but that the Republicans are even worse, whilst the other half of the American public thinks that the Republican Party totally sucks and that the Democrats are even worse.
Oh.
And the thing about that is that they're both right. And meanwhile, Nike shoes have suddenly become cool on the left. There was a professional football player named Colin Kaepernick, who was one of the top quarterbacks in the National Football League until he became the first player to take the knee.
Will I stand up next to a mountain and I chop it down with the edge of my head?
Thus starting the whole take the knee trend. And even though Mr. Kaepernick led his football team to within one play of a world championship, Mr. Kaepernick can no longer get a job playing football because he dared to use his celebrity to protest the mass murder of black youths by the police. Well, Nike recently signed Colin Kaepernick to do an ad campaign, thus evidently proving Nike's social consciousness by making a controversial political statement in support of oppressed people. In reaction, people on the right started burning their Nikes. But all of the liberals started running right out and purchasing new Nikes. And all of this is in spite of the fact that Nike has not only been caught using child slave labor to manufacture their shoes, but when they were caught lying to us about the fact that they used child slave labor to manufacture their shoes, then Nike sued us for their legal right to lie to us about the fact that they used child slave labor to manufacture their shoes. In addition, Nike has also been caught stealing the wages of their employees. And they have been caught illegally suppressing union activity in their factories. However, after all of that, making a stand for the oppressed is what finally inspires one group of people to decide to burn their Nikes. And after all of that, the liberals now believe that Nike is hiring Colin Kaepernick for reasons of social consciousness rather than because their bean counters figured out that they would ultimately make a big profit by hiring Mr. Kaepernick. By the way, Nike's online sales jumped 32% immediately after the announcement.
Powerball Lottery wants to know, what would you do with $1 billion?
I'd buy an army and kill everybody.
I'd finally get that abortion.
I'd move my favorite football team back to Los Angeles.
I'd kill Nicole Brown Simpson all over again.
I'd sew a cat's head onto a dog.
I'd have a second cup of coffee.
Harry never has a second cup of coffee at home.
I'd bring Hitler back to life.
I'd buy an island in Tahiti and have it gold-plated.
I'd probably break under the strain.
Powerball. $1 and a dream.
You know, there are very few things that will bring you down quicker than prison. So let's go. I basically spent my whole life gambling. I took a lot of risks of various kinds that many might consider to be irresponsible or even crazy. But I did so because I could see a lot of potential benefits, and I'm pretty sure that mostly because I kept my karma clean, I ended up almost always winning my bets, and I almost always received those benefits. However, with rare exceptions, I only gambled when I knew that the odds were in my favor, and with rare exceptions, I never bet anything that I could not afford to lose. That said, except for those rare exceptions, even though I am myself an inveterate gambler, I consider gambling when the odds are totally stacked against you. And when you know that those odds are totally stacked against you, such as is the case with casino gambling, I consider gambling under these conditions to be utter foolishness. I have trouble, in fact, thinking of anything else that anyone could do that would demonstrate a higher level of sheer stupidity. So during the winter of 1977-78, I had a job as a porter in a large casino that was called the Cal Neva Lodge, which was located in Crystal Bay, Nevada, which is itself located on the north shore of Lake Tahoe. My job consisted of walking around, picking up coin wrappers, polishing slot machines to keep them all nice and shiny, and occasionally, when they were shorthanded, I would run jackpots to the winners on these slot machines. Several times during my tenure at Cal Neva, I saw people, usually elderly ladies, who were sitting at a slot machine when I arrived for my shift, and they would still be sitting at that very same slot machine 8 hours later when I left. And I am pretty sure that that person alone probably paid my wages for those 8 hours. And there were thousands of other people spread out over many thousands of square feet of dinging, flashing action and lights. And these thousands of people were all doing absolutely nothing but sitting on their asses as they compulsively and repeatedly gave their money to the Cal Neva Lodge, one handle pull at a time. So, you may ask, why am I talking about casinos in a piece about prisons? Well, I am doing this because casinos and prisons both provide almost perfect microcosms of our larger society. And casinos and prisons both provide fascists with the perfect templates for experimentation with and for the implementation of their oppression. So consider the casino. As with our society at large, everyone puts their money into the project, yet only a small handful of people receive insanely large rewards, while the vast bulk of the participants are sucked dry without recompense. But also, as with our society at large, everyone has been trained to accept that reason to be okay with that. As far as the security state is concerned, the government has little on a large casino. Now, I'm not sure how things work in Atlantic City or in some of the local native-owned casinos, but I do know that in Nevada, at least, casinos are required by law to keep enough cash on their premises to pay off any potential jackpots that any customer may potentially win. And in the case of the larger casinos, this usually means several tens of millions of dollars. Yet even though it is commonly known that these places often keep tens of millions in cash on hand, have you ever heard of anyone even trying to rob a casino? That's because it does not happen. Casino security makes that of a typical suburban bank seem like children playing with toy guns. All large Nevada casinos always have large mirrors overlooking the entire casino floor. And these are always two-way mirrors. And there are always people armed with automatic weapons sitting behind those mirrors as they secretly watch everything that is happening below them. Just like our society at large. This metaphor even extends to the point wherein, just as in our society at large, these private security goons operate with virtually no accountability to anyone except their bosses. A private security guard operating in a Nevada casino pretty much has carte blanche, and they can get away with doing lots of things that even cops could never get away with. Also, as with our society at large, the mini world inside the casino likes to keep everyone narrowly focused on their tasks, and it likes to keep them insulated from any outside influence. And to this end, they enthusiastically ply their gamblers with free drinks and two things that you will never see in any large casino is a clock or a window. Ultimately, prisons and casinos are like two sides of the same coin. The casinos celebrate those who buy into the game, even as it fleeces them, while the prisons punish those who don't buy into the game, even as it also fleeces them. Now, as far as prisons, I would like to meet the person who originally came up with the idea that locking a bunch of criminals into close and intimate association with a bunch of other criminals and then treating them in humiliating and degrading manners and tearing them down for years or decades at a time. Whoever thought that doing all of that could ever end up accomplishing anything good? But you know, ironically, at first, they actually did. It was the Quakers, of all people, who were intimately involved in prison reform, quote, dating all the way back to the early 17th century. It turns out that William Penn, the Quaker founder of Pennsylvania, had previously spent time in the Tower of London for his Quaker activities. He thus had a deep interest in prison reform, quote. It was the Quakers, in fact, who opened up the very first American prison in 1796. Now, New York's Newgate Prison represented an effort to reform the penitents. And thus we eventually ended up with reformatories and penitentiaries. Newgate was, in fact, quote, built on the premise that good habits, labor, and time to reflect could cause criminals to see the errors of their ways and find Christianity. Unquote. However, the slave masters quickly took on the task of dealing with the criminal class, and they had absolutely no interest in reform or penitence. In fact, quite the contrary. The slave masters very consciously instituted prisons as places of punishment and misery. And after the 14th Amendment abolished slavery, except as punishment for crime, the slave masters simply began converting vast hordes of newly minted criminals into slaves. There are now more black inmates in American prisons than there were slaves in 1865, the year that the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. Mission accomplished. Thereafter, you could always tell when it was harvest time in the South, because all of a sudden, all of the young black men and boys would suddenly find themselves arrested on some pretext or another. Usually, vagrancy. So these days, prisons represent a pretty much textbook example of a total and complete totalitarian police state. Prisons also represent a very expensive way to make a problem much worse than it was originally. The hierarchy is as clear-cut as if sliced with a knife, and it is then set in stone. One class of people lives completely and utterly dominated by another class of people. And even the lowest-ranked members of the ruling class literally have the power of life and death over their charges. Everyone on the compound is constantly surrounded by violent psychopaths every minute of every day. And a lot of the inmates are just as bad. There is constant tension. You need to constantly watch your back. You must daily directly deal with psychopathic personalities. And you must daily directly deal with many of the quirks and various forms of mental illness that is under serious duress. Prisons are ugly, cruel, nasty places where the hatred, the viciousness, and the constant undercurrent and threat of violence is unremitting, pervasive, and never-ending. The humanity of everyone involved is constantly being eroded and degraded. And prisons are also like a laboratory where the machine experiments with various manners of suppressing, oppressing, and dominating people. They are constantly trying to use prisoners to experiment with whatever, i.e., various theories concerning experimental drugs, or trying out new crowd suppression techniques, or new crowd suppression tech, or experiments with various styles of behavioral manipulation, or whatever. And make no mistake, the mentality that the prisons create and the realities that the prisons maintain are constantly seeping out of those prisons and weaving themselves throughout the rest of our culture at large. All of those prison guards live in our neighborhoods, and almost all of those inmates will eventually rejoin our communities. And they do not just leave all that crap behind the prison walls. They bring it all home with them. And we're going to take a quick station break. The Thunderbolt will return in just a moment.
This program is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. If this program makes your head explode or causes emotional distress, or if you suddenly feel as if life suddenly isn't worth living anymore due to the things you learn on this program, then you should blame yourself for the fact that you're such a wimp that you let the world push you around in such a manner, rather than blaming the producers of some radio show, much less blaming the radio station that is airing the show. And you should maybe soon become a Zen master and or a used car salesman and or an astronaut or whatever, rather than trying to educate yourself about things that are simply going to twist your worldview into a pretzel, making your continued existence on this plane problematic. If you have useful suggestions, or if you wish to participate in meaningful debate, then bring it on. But otherwise, if you aren't going to help, then please just shut up and get out of our way, so that we can do what needs to be done. Have a nice day.
The nature of the bully is to be a bully. The bully takes advantage of some natural or imposed advantage to force others to bend to their will. They vastly prefer helpless victims, and they generally have no interest in any fight where the odds are not significantly stacked in their favor. Our president is a classic example. He loves picking on weak people, and he regularly kisses the asses of the powerful and the ruthless. The rump has been both seriously bullying the media, even as he leads them around by the nose. He will say some outrageous and meaningless crap, and then everyone on the media machine will spend the next 3 days analyzing whatever crap he said, wondering what it might all actually mean, when what it actually means is jack all, because he is consciously and intentionally distracting them from the truly nasty stuff that is secretly going on in the shadows. One of those secret things is that Donald Trump wants a war, and he is angling for one pretty much wherever he thinks he might be able to get one. According to game theory, as espoused by Dr. Von Neumann and as practiced by Donald Trump, in order for a nuclear arsenal to be effective, you must be willing to use them. And the rum, I will remind you again, had to ask Pentagon officials 3 times that if we have nuclear weapons, then why can't we use them? And so, where could we start a war these days? After the old bomber got bit on the butt in Syria, though he eventually managed to get us in there anyway, the machine realized that after having all of the lies that were behind the Iraq invasion and occupation exposed, even the American public had finally gotten the idea. And the machine realized that they could no longer just get away with just invading some country based upon complete BS just because they said so. Now, the rump may be insane, uneducated, and ignorant, but he is not stupid. He seems to be pondering several possibilities. He recently took to the floor of the United Nations and verbally attacked Cuba, Venezuela, and Iran based upon their human rights violations, whilst of course completely ignoring the exponentially worse human rights violations being committed by such allies as Saudi Arabia, Israel, and Uzbekistan. So, Cuba, there is probably absolutely no public support for that. And Venezuela, well, pretty much all of Central and South America are sick of U.S. interference in their internal affairs, and they would likely rise up as one against any direct American military intervention there. The machine has been using its usual secret behind-the-scenes covert crap in Venezuela for many years with an almost complete lack of success. And it is starting to look like their current destabilization campaign against the current Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro, is going to fail as well. So what about Iran? Netanyahu is experiencing erections as he contemplates an American attack on Iran, and the rump just loves making Netanyahu hard. However,
peek-a-boo.
Iran,
I can see you,
is a huge, wealthy,
and I know what you do,
vibrant, and educated, and industrial country with a very large and a very effective military capability. Bullies don't like real fights. They only like helpless victims.
So please pay attention while I show you some.
In addition, invading Iran would cause backlash like you wouldn't believe on a whole bunch of other fronts as well. Whatever.
Peek-a-boo.
If the runt wants a war, he will probably get one. Especially since the opposition party is also a wholly owned subsidiary of the Wall Street war machine.
Laugh if you want to, or say you don't care. If you cannot see it, you think it's not there.
In other words, the Democrats,
I can see you,
will probably,
and I know what,
be cheering him on. Especially since the anti-war movement pretty much died the day that Barack Obama took office. Yes, Barack Obama made imperialism bipartisan. Mission accomplished. And evidently, Obama trained them well. Judging from their reaction to the Rump's rocket strike in Syria, these days the liberals are chill, even when it is the Republicans who are running around destroying other people's countries for profit and mass murdering their civilians. Bipartisanship. Yippee! And to further delineate the nature of the bully, we can also look to the Korean War. But during that war, the United States dropped more bombs on North Korea than everyone on both sides dropped during the entirety of World War II. The United States basically leveled the entire country. And whatever they didn't blow up, they burned up with napalm. They intentionally blew up several dams and killed tens of thousands of Koreans just by doing that. They destroyed 90% of the city of Pyongyang, and eventually they ended up killing 20% of the entire population of North Korea. And there are still many living Koreans who can remember all of that. The entire North Korean leadership went underground into an extensive network of tunnels. And they have not only stayed in those tunnels ever since, but they have vastly expanded their network of tunnels, and indeed, they have built and they maintain a large portion of their entire defensive capability and their weaponry in this vast nationwide network of underground tunnels. And American intelligence has no idea of what the North Koreans might have, nor where it might be located. And in spite of American propaganda to the contrary, Kim Jong-un is not insane. Even if he achieves full nuclear capability, he will pose no threat to the United States because he is not suicidal. His interest is strictly in deterring the Americans. He has a very cushy thing for himself in North Korea, and he has no desire to become involved in any suicidal war. But he also has no desire to experience regime change American style. All he is doing is defending his country from the biggest bully in the world. And he is actually doing so quite effectively. The very obvious lessons of Iraq and Libya were this. If you have the weapons, do not give them up. As soon as you have conceded to every American demand, and as soon as you have disarmed, and as soon as the UN inspectors have confirmed that you have indeed disarmed, thus making yourself helpless, then that is the point wherein the Americans will come in and level your country. All that North Korea is asking is to be treated like any other country. And even if Kim does not want to decommission his nukes, he definitely does want peace, and his conditions for peace remain the same. Recognize the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Lift the economic sanctions. And stop militarily intimidating and threatening them. Is that really too much to ask? I don't think so. But for now, it's time to get to work. But first, we're going to fill out the rest of the hour with some music. We're going to go back to the 1970s now. This is Humble Pie. Enjoy.
Good for
That was Sweet Peace in Time, preceded by You're So Good for Me from Humble Pie. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt, nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com, and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And you may want to grab a pen or something, because I'm about to give you some information. If you like what you hear here on the Thunderbolt, then the Thunderbolt archives are stored at dana98501.wordpress.com. That's D-A-N-A 98501, which is the downtown Olympia zip code, .wordpress.com. And if you would like to continue hearing the Thunderbolt, you can contribute to our cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. And
thank you very much.